was just wonderful. Thank you so much. Yay. And thank you to JP for doing the invocation and the welcome for me. Thank you so much. I was out gallivanting all over this county. Good morning, Vision. How are you? You're looking wonderful. You know, this is the last talk in this month's theme of celebrating diversity. And we are going to celebrate diversity here today. Doesn't seem like there's much of that going on in the country lately, but we're going to do it here because that's what this month is all about, celebrating diversity. And we started off the month with, All for One, right, where we talked about the interconnectedness of all life, and then we talked about One for All, which was this idea of we are greater than the sum of our parts. You know, spiritual community is so much greater than each one of us, and coming together to find this greater sense of purpose, too. So today we're talking about the melting pot and the salad bowl. You with me? The melting pot and the salad bowl. So America has traditionally been called the melting pot, right? You learned that in high school history or whatever. Welcoming people from different countries, from different cultures, from different religions, all coming here to seek opportunity and freedom and a better way of life. So let's talk about that just for a second, the historical part of that melting pot phrase. So from 1605 to 1775, we had immigrants that came to the country from Holland, and England, and France, and Africa as indentured servants and slaves, the religious persecuted. The second wave came about 1820 to 1870, mainly the Irish and the Germans, a wave of Chinese immigrants on the West Coast. The gold rush happened right at that time. It was about that time period where the nativists formed their party about keeping the immigrants out. In the 1850s somewhere, the Know-Nothing Party that was designed to keep immigrants from coming into the country. Today we call them Tea Parties. But anyway, back then they were called the Know-Nothing Party, and they're still around. Okay, so they were designed, you know, there to keep the immigrants out. Then you had the third wave, 1881 to the 1920s. This was mainly Northern and Western Europeans, then followed by Southern and Eastern Europe. That immigration was curtailed mainly by the Great Depression, who wanted to come, right? Then we had the fourth wave, which was the mid-century of the 1940s, 50s. And they were mainly Asians and Central and South Americans. So that's about how these waves of immigrants came to the country. Now, in 1845, this is interesting, Ralph Waldo Emerson alluded to the development of the European civilization he alluded in regards to the Dark Ages. And what he wrote in his private journal was that America was the utopian product of culturally and racial melting pot. And that's where really the phrase started being used. Now, he was talking about culturally and racially mixing together to form this beautiful country. And that was really the first time that idea was presented, and actually it was very advanced for that time period. I mean, Emerson explicitly welcomed racial mixing of whites and non-whites, which was very, very controversial at the time. And then there was a play that opened in 1908 by an immigrant named Israel Zangwill, and it was called The Melting Pot. And it was all about this idea that we all come together and that we blend into this one big country called America. The melting pot was a metaphor, a way of expressing e pluribus unum, right? Out of many, one. Out of many, one. You'll find it on the back of our dollar bills and probably some coins still. So the idea of the melting pot was the public face of America for years and years and years, decades after the play. And even while Asian immigrants were forced into Chinatowns and Japanese Americans were being interned, and Jim Crow laws were happening in this country. Even in the face of all of that discrimination, America still proudly called itself, you know, the melting pot, this cornucopia of ideas and ethnicities. You know, there's even an old story about Joe Louis when he fought and won against Max Schelling, right? And he joined the army in 1942, and his African American friends told him, "It's not a black man's army; it's the white man's army." And, you know, Joe Louis said to him, "You know, there's a lot of things wrong with America, but Hitler ain't going to fix any of them." And you know what? Hitler ain't going to fix any of them today either. So the thing is, in the mid-20th century, when all this was going on, this idea of the melting pot started getting challenged. Because really, that's not what was going on, was it? Not what was going on. So that concept started getting real critical examination as this fourth wave of immigration was occurring. 1950, UNESCO, United Nations Educational and Scientific Cultural Organization, said this. In their declaration of race, this is 1950, all human beings belong to a single species and are descended from a common stock. All are born in dignity and rights, and all form an integral part of humanity. We're all one. How about that? They made a declaration out of it. And in the 1980s, during the Human Genome Project, what did they find? They found race isn't real. I love that. They found race is not real. It's a human construct. So how did we even get here? How did we even get here? We've got a German anthropologist, Frederick Blumenbach, to blame, to credit, I don't know. His work in the late 1700s, he said he divided humans into these different groups based on physical characteristics. That's it, just physical characteristics. Mongolian or yellow race, the red Native America race, the brown Malayan race, the black Ethiopian race, the white Caucasian race. That's it, he just made it up. Wrote a book about it. And we've been buying into it ever since. But there's only one race, human. That's it. That's all there is. It's all made up. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, "Mingled with the voice of humanity is the word of God, for truth is a synonym for God. And whoever speaks the truth speaks the word of God. Science reveals the eternal spirit. Behind all is a unity. Through all is a diversity. And saturating all is a divinity." There we are. That is the truth of us. Oh, God. Amen. So, like I said, mid-century, the whole melting pot theme started falling apart at the seams. And the idea grew that we're not a melting pot, we're a salad bowl. Isn't that lovely? We're a salad bowl. And it started looking very appealing. Not total assimilation, but multiculturalism, right? People, different cultures, different areas, geographic areas, different ethnicities, come together and the best in themselves, we complement each other, right? We complement each other. Think of a salad bowl. The lettuce stays the lettuce, you know, and the tomatoes are the tomatoes, distinct and separate from the olives and the cucumbers. Feta cheese and grated cheddar are different, but they provide flavor, unique tastes. And so it's a way of thinking of this country and that each person and each group and each ethnicity and culture bring its own specialized foods and clothing and language. And we're a salad. We complement each other. We retain those unique identifiers, but yet we add to the overall flavor of the country. Ernest Holmes said this in 1952. In the manifest universe, we see diversity, multiplicity. No two people are alike. No two blades of grass are alike. No two grains of sand, no two flakes of snow, no two drops of water are alike. And yet they are merged in this eternal unity. Therefore, we see the first principle of life is oneness. The first performance of life is multiplying itself without dividing itself. We may know the great dual necessity of life is to be life and to be expressed. Life must be one, and that one, in order to be expressed, must be many. But the many, in order to exist, must live in the one. That's awesome. That is awesome. So this whole idea of race and separateness and differentness and putting each other all in boxes, it was all made up. It was a made-up construct. So we could point over there and see them, and then it would be us against them, or them against us. You know, this goes way back. Think of your history books. Remember the Bacon's Rebellion? Does anybody remember Bacon's Rebellion? Come on, who are the historians in the group? One. 17, right? 16. 1676. The indentured servants and the black slaves got together and rose up against the landowners. The 1%. Okay? And it so terrified them that instead of separating people by income and class, landowners and indentured servants and slaves, the 1% said, oh, we can't have this happen again. There's so many of them and there's so few of us and they will crush us, that they instead separated people by race instead of by class. And so they took the indentured servants and they gave them more props, they gave them more responsibilities, they gave them more money to do the things they did. And what the things that they did were to watch the African Americans. And that's really what happens, right? It's not true. Something we bought into. It's an artificial construct. What we have to see and look around and look at is how many different ways life is expressing. That's what celebrating diversity. Celebrating diversity is I don't see race or I don't see. That's not celebrating diversity. Celebrating diversity is seeing it, seeing all the wonderful, beautiful differences and celebrating that and having fun with it and honoring it. How many different religions do you think there are in the world today? 40, 50, 60, 100. There's over 10,000 different religions in the world today. 10,000. How many different countries are they? Are there in the world today? How many different countries do we have around the globe? Do you know? 100. Good guess. Anybody? 196. There are 196 different countries if we consider Taiwan a separate country from China. 195 if you want to believe the China thing that, you know, there's only one China. How many different political parties are there in the United States? 1, 2, 3, 5. How many different political parties? 20. As of 2016, there are between 214 and 221 political parties in this country. And how many races are there in the United States? Yes, one! That's it, one! Thank you, you got the answer. One race. One race in the United States, one race in the world. The human race. The human race. So you see where I'm going with this, right? No melting pot, not even any salad bowl. And no five different races, just one. Just one. We're all together and we're here to celebrate the fact that each one of us are different. You know, we are one, but instead of ignoring our differences and isolating different cultures or judging different cultures, we need to celebrate the differences. We need to see them and celebrate them. You know, the idea of creating different races, different categories of people based on their skin tone is like so arbitrary. It's like somebody just picked it and said, let's do that thing. Let's put them in boxes based on skin tone, based on melanin. Hello? I mean, how arbitrary is that? Okay, what if we created a whole different race category? What if we divided up people according to height? I'd be a different race than John Kirko. Right? Right? If we were racially divided by height, I mean, think about it. It's really silly when you think of the randomness of it all. Ethelyn, how tall are you? 5'6", 5'5", something like that, right? You and I are the same race. We're the short people. No, you know what? We'd be the fun size race. We're not short, we're fun size. We're all different and we're all the same. You know, it's just amazing. We all have different characteristics. We all have different ways of expressing spirit. We have curly hair and straight hair, and we're tall and we're short, and we're zoftic. We're skinny. We're just all different, and yet what? We're all the same. We're all the same. You know, tan and white and brown. It's just silly, curly hair and eye color. We could, you know, create new races based on eye color. I mean, anything. We are a kaleidoscope. We are a kaleidoscope of humanity. And we need to celebrate that. All the different shapes and sizes and skin tones and it's just amazing. Ernest Holmes wrote this. He said, there are but two fundamental principles in nature. One is unity of the whole. The next is variety, the diversity, the manifold expressions of that unity. Any system of thought, religious, political, economic, that contradicts either one or both of these is certain to fall, as tomorrow is certain to follow today. And what this means to us is freedom. Liberty is not license. Liberty means providing the greatest possible chance for every person to be free, giving him or her the greatest background for freedom, and also permitting him to go ahead and enjoy as much of that freedom as we can. We are all one at the root. We are all one at the root. But look at all the different leaves that we are. Every single person showing up different. You have never been before and never will be again. In the history of all humanity, there is only one of you. Unique, individualized expression of the one life of God. And the one is the thing that is unique to all and individualized by us. But it is the one life of all. It is the one thing we all share, and we are here to celebrate that. We are here to celebrate it, to observe the differences, to be amazed by the different ways that spirit shows up in the world. All the different species of animals, all the different fish in the ocean, all the differences, and yet what we know is it all springs from the one. It all comes from the one life. We are here to celebrate that, to enjoy as much freedom as we can, like Ernest Holmes said, to demonstrate as much joy as we can, to give thanks for as much abundance as we can, to live in as much peace as we can, and to really be the wholeness, the absolute wholeness that we can be. And the way we do that is by celebrating what makes us unique and different from each other. We celebrate what makes us special. We celebrate what makes cultures different from other cultures, and countries different from other countries, and people different from other people. We celebrate that. We celebrate our diversity. This month, we celebrate our diversity, right? We are all unique. We are all individuals, and we are all one. We are all one. So this week, when we go out and about, just simply look at the eyes of the other. Look into those eyes and know and accept that it's spirit looking back. It's only one life. Regardless of how it shows up and regardless what size or shape or skin tone or language or dress or food, knowing that we are one. That's what this spiritual community does, doesn't it? We are open to all. We are diverse. We are inviting. We said our welcome, right, today? Oh, thank God. Okay, thank you, JP. We said our welcome, right? You are safe and you are loved. You are here. You know, we welcome all. That's what we do in spiritual community. And we don't ignore the differences. We celebrate them. We celebrate them. And in this way, we complement each other. And we grow in our faith, in our consciousness. in our love. And then we take that out into the world, do we not? We take that out with us wherever we go. Ah, so this week, that's our job. To see spirit in every person you run across, even the guy on the highway who's not really happy to see you. Even that person, you know. Ah, see them and know that it's God looking back at us.